Welcome to another episode of AJVC Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Mazin, and this week I have with me Keshav, Abhinay, and Nilesh. In this episode, we discuss our latest piece, Can Grow Help Indian Investors' Wealth Grow? So, Keshav, can you tell our listeners why we decided to write about growth this week to get us started?
Sure, Mazin. So I think overall, as the space itself, we haven't covered a lot of companies in the wealth management or wealth tech space to say, right? So I think Grow is probably the first one which we are covering in this space. And there has been a lot of activity which has happened in the sort of the stock equity space in the last 9 months, right? So if we look at the number of DMAT accounts that hit a 9 month high between the April to December 20 period, and Grow has really sort of capitalized on that very, very well by launching new products as well as entering into different verticals, which makes sense for their investors, right? I think around September is when we had started sort of tracking it, and we were discussing it within the group also because a few of the members are sort of use the app and they love the simplicity and ease of use of the app. And it is when they raised and actually became a unicorn in April that we finally decided to pull the trigger and actually start covering this one this week.
It's quite an interesting story in a really interesting market. And Abhinay, can you take us back to how Grow got started and how did they secure their first fundraising round?
Before we go into how Grow started, one thing is how Indian startup ecosystem has actually evolved. So when we look at it, in 2007, Flipkart was started by Bansal, right? And at that time, startup ecosystem was very new. Indian startup ecosystem was something where, you know, unicorn as well as startups, these are not the names that most of the people have heard of, right? But what has happened by around 5 years, it took Flipkart to become a unicorn. And what it was doing is basically it was going after Amazon and it was creating a culture where a lot of entrepreneurs were joining Flipkart. They were understanding the business. What does it take for people to, you know, find a problem, go after the solution? How do you scale a business in India? What are the nitty-gritty of building a business in India? So in those 5 years, when they were becoming a unicorn, a lot of good folks joined them. And then from there, the scale-up plan kept happening. And now these people started building the next companies in India, which are going to become unicorn and decacorn, right? So Lalit and the entire Grow team were also Flipsters. They were part of the team that has seen scaling and that has seen Flipkart scale up. When they were there, right, Lalit has already done a startup earlier. And he was at the managing product for Flipkart. Harsh was also there. Ishan was there. So that way, the entire team met at Flipkart, and they all had one thing common, which was to solve a problem. Now, with that problem, which is big enough, they found that in Indian financial space, you know, making an investment is still an opaque thing, right? It's very complex. Out of 200 million users or customers who could actually invest, only 20 million were investing. They found this problem pretty unique, and they found that, you know, the fundamental pain points are around because the solutions are not simple enough. And there were many things happening, right? You know, like UPI has come, mobile penetration was increasing. So now users were ready to invest more money, but they did not have the trust. So you have to build the trust. At the same time, you have to be readily accessible. So they came up with multiple solutions. And the key ingredient for their success was going to be simplicity of it, right? But again, simplicity is very difficult to offer for a large cohort of users. So over time, what happened was, you know, they have to do multiple iterations. So while they registered their company in 2016, They took some time. By 2017, they were iterating on the product. And finally, when they launched between April to December 2017, they could manage to do 1 lakh transactions. That was a validation. And, you know, multiple things were now falling in place. They could see the traction building, month on month. They could see that, you know, now the tailwinds are in their favor as well because of, you know, UPI, because of, people are now open to online transactions, etc. So that was the time they knew that they are on to something. And when you are doing something so great, right, investors are also looking for such rocket ship. So they managed to raise their first seed round sometime in early 2018. It was a 1.3 million round that they raised. And that helped them build the MVP from MVP to basically go to an MLP. And from, I believe that time they had limited number of mutual funds, and then they started increasing their offering using this capital which they just raised.
So with that great start, they were able to get a bit of traction. Keshav, can you help us deep dive a bit into equities as an asset class and why that had become so attractive for investors? And also, trust is so important when you're doing transactions online. How did they go about building that trust?
Sure, Mazen. So I'll address that in two parts. One, talking about the macro conditions, which led to investors' interest in the equity market, right? So overall, as a country, I would say India loves to sort of save, right? According to April 2021 data, India's gross saving rate is at around 30%, while the household saving is a healthy 10%, right? And if you look at India's GDP, that stands close to $3 trillion. And with a 20% saving, that comes out to $600 billion each year. And historically, the preference for investors has been to invest in fixed assets like real estate and gold or fixed deposits, right? Equity has contributed only less than 5% of the total investments. Ironically, when we see it from the return spectrum, the opposite has been observed in terms of the various asset classes, right? So in the past decade, equity has outshone every other asset class. So equity has actually generated a real return of close to 11%. Real return is basically taking the cost of inflation into account, whereas property has given a real return of around 6% in the same period, right? And the future outlook for equity continues to be attractive vis-a-vis real estate, which has high inventory levels, very poor rental yields, all of that, right? So considering all of this, the best option for retail investors for long-term wealth creation is to actually invest in stock markets, right? And that has actually played out when we see the last 5 years, right? Because between March 2014 to 2017, the number of folios of mutual funds increased by 50%. And the team at Grow actually realized this, and they launched mutual fund distribution as their first product, right? And as it strengthened the mutual fund distribution business, the number of registered users increased from 50,000 to 1 million. And on that basis itself, they were able to bag a Series A of 6 million in January 2019, right? So that is on the first part of equity investing. The second, which is on the trust part, right? So the financial markets in India is, if I have to talk about it, is sort of replete with stories where entities scampered off with hard-earned money of the investors, right? So there have been various scams, the Harshad Mehta scam, Ketan Parekh scam, all of that, which has happened, right? Which basically drew gullible investors with the promise of huge returns, and various Ponzi schemes, everything was used, right? So traditionally, there is a fear among the Indian investors, and they are very risk-averse while investing in the financial markets. And in 2019 itself, we saw the highest number of broker defaults in the past two decades. So there were 18 broker defaults on NSE, 16 on BSE, right? And in most cases, what happened was that brokers used investors' share to obtain leverage and take speculative position to trade in derivatives. And investors were unaware that their shares were being pledged, right? So that led to erosion of investor wealth, which correlated strongly with loss of investor trust, right? And because of this, it's not surprising to see that on Google, if you type how to find a trusted, the second most search result is financial advisor, which is very interesting, right? Which shows this deep sort of impact which trust has on the financial markets overall, right? What Grow did was that it created a unique proposition. It identified its TG, which was 25 to 40 age group, tech-savvy people, do-it-yourself mindset, and they were on social media, right? So they leveraged social media channels heavily. And for them, they had a simple ideology that they would not personally provide these new investors with advice, but would give them all the information and tools needed to be able to make decisions themselves, right? And what happened through that was now they have close to 400 plus articles on the blog, 700,000 plus followers on YouTube, 200,000 plus followers on Instagram, right? So they have actually been able to democratize access to quality financial advice and build that trust loop one article, one video at a time. And that persistence has sort of reaped huge results for Grow.
Now, with all the right ingredients in place, you know, they're going after a big market and they found a way to build trust. The macro situations were very much in their favor. Can you tell us what Grow's unit economics look like and what's the nature of the industry in general?
Sure. So to talk about the nature of the industry, right? So broking industry is actually an asset-light business. What I mean by that is that companies need to spend to acquire customers. And while the customers take time to generate enough business, over time, if enough users stay on the platform, the company can make significant sort of lifetime value on that particular customer, right? If I have to take an example, Zerodha, which is a discount brokerage, has the highest number of active accounts at close to 3.8 million, and it operates with only 1,100 employees, right? And if implemented correctly, what happens is that the discount broking business is a classic case of low operating leverage model, right? What that means is there is low fixed cost, almost zero variable cost, which increases your profitability disproportionately, right? But that also limits the model in some sense because the TG you can target is only tech savvy customers because the brokerage house is providing these personalized services to individual customers, which cannot be provided by these tech first players to that extent, right? Talking about the unit economics, if we look at Grow, they have 900,000 plus active clients, right? And if you assume that 2% are active daily trading users with two orders a day in the F&O segment, that fetches Grow 40 rupees, which is 20 rupees per order, which is around 7.2 lakhs per day or 18 crore per year, assuming 250 trading days, right? On that basis, if we look at CAC and the payback period, Grow launched stock trading in June 20, and they have added 700,000 plus customers by FY20 ended. On an average, the industry has around 5,000 rupees for customer acquisition. And what that number means is that Grow typically needs 125 days, which is your 5,000 rupees by 40, to be profitable on a per active customer basis, right? So Grow as a platform is one where the cost will not increase drastically, even if the participants using the platform increase in an exponential manner. And then it can layer on more services to cater to more users and launch more products, which is already doing, right? So Grow launched intraday trading, ETF investments, digital gold investment options, all of that, which has helped it attract more investors, more new investors, all of that. And one great thing, which I would just want to highlight before sort of closing on my part, right, is that they have been able to attract tier two, tier three users also. And 60% of the users on Grow's platform comprises of the users from that segment. So that is a very hard thing, but a very sort of interesting way by which they have been able to deepen the financial inclusion and expand into that market also.
Certainly sounds like Grow is quite well positioned. But Nilesh, could you tell us a bit about the competitive landscape? Where is Grow today? And what's in store for them for the future?
Sure, Mazin. This industry, this broking industry, is insanely competitive. If you look at the current number of active clients of Grow, it is at number 5. The biggest one is Zerodha, the big daddy of them all, followed by Upstox, ICICI Direct, Angel Broking, HDFC Securities, and Grow. Now, what happens in such a competitive phase is Grow can keep launching more products or more offerings for its customers, but very quickly they'll be copied by the other broking houses. So the competitive advantage, if any, by launching products is going to be very minimal and for a very short time. The second, this is also the reason why existing customers will be very loath to switch from, very unwilling to switch from one brokerage house to the other brokerage house. Because, you know, it's a question of money, giving your financial details, PAN card, etc. So the switch out rate is also low, but the competition is also very high. Now, at the same point of time, one has to see that that the Indian financial market over the next decade, retail participation is definitely going to increase by leaps and bounds. And Groww is well poised to capture the extra flow, that the inflow that is coming in. Now, on this aspect, India is not the only country where this is happening. We are seeing this in the US. We all know about the impact of Robinhood and the GameStop saga. It was really, really crazy. But if you really want to compare, but this flow which is coming in is coming into all the players who are there. So at the same point where Groww has grown by similar 10 around 20%, you have seen Upstox, which is roughly 2.5 times bigger than Groww, grew by around 11%. And the market leader Zerodha has increased its active client base by 6%. So, you know, it's competitive, but everybody is going concurrently. But, you know, we don't know where the future will lead us. However, though, Groww has done one thing differently as of now. A few days ago, it announced the acquisition of Indiabulls AMC, making it the first discount brokerage to get a mutual fund license. Now, although you can say that Indiabulls AMC is, you know, it's a poorly ranked AMC. By assets under management, it is only at 37 out of 41 mutual funds, according to Morningstar. But there is significant potential to Groww the mutual fund business via AUMs. What can Groww bring to it? Groww has an experience of knowing what the customer wants and what is their investing behavior. Now, this is the first time that a digital player, which is experienced in marketing the product, also runs the product itself, which is the mutual fund. Now, I expect some synergies from one section of the business to flow on the other side. But once again, there is a challenge here also, because running a mutual fund business is not easy. Just as we spoke at the start of this podcast of how there have been several financial scams in India, we also have a litany of mutual funds who have failed or had to close their schemes or have had some accident or the other. They have been acquired by someone else. They have shut down their funds. And, you know, there are names like Lotus Fund, and not just Indian funds, Z Groups, SL Groups Mutual Fund. And roughly 2 years ago, even a big name like Franklin Templeton had to close down two of its mutual funds due to issues. So what I'm looking forward in short is the future is challenging, but definitely interesting. And we'll see what really happens. I really hope that Groww is able to bring many more customers to the financial market, many more first-time investors to the financial market, and grows the entire section of equity investments in India. But, well, nobody knows the future perfectly.
I guess time will tell. And certainly sounds like Groww is well-positioned, but they have some pretty serious challenges to deal with. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to A Junior VC Unfiltered. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next week.